Thank you for tuning in to IGH 260. Today's broadcast, lesson number 5 of week number 15, studying Matthew chapter 15, part of a one chapter per week, 260 week, 5-year long study of the New Testament. As we get started, these reminders. To access all of our materials, always free, click the word free at internationalgospelhour.com. For a list of all of these materials, send an email to free@ighradio.com. To receive text updates, text the word IGHFREE to 55222. That's IGHFREE, all one word, text IGHFREE to 55222. Here are two great ways to study God's Word. First, to study online, just go to igh.worldbibleschool.org or click the online courses link at internationalgospelhour.com. Second, to study by mail, call us toll-free at 1-855-IGH-6988 or use the contact form at internationalgospelhour.com to receive a free 30-lesson Bible study series. Let's continue our study of Matthew 15. At the end of our last program, we were discussing how the scribes and the Pharisees circumvented their parental responsibility that God commanded. The fifth commandment, the one that directed Israel to honor their fathers and their mothers, was regarded by many Jews as the most important of all the commandments. It's centered on the first outward and ongoing practical obligation that Jews had to their family. As the rest of the principles of the Mosaic Law were revealed, we will see that that initial obligation toward family depicted here would eventually extend to others in the nation, then to those who were strangers living among the Jews, and ultimately to all people. Worship of God, as God commanded, something to be spelled out in more detail as the law continues, as important as that would be, was not as time and as ongoing service-oriented as would be everyday activities that the Jews engaged in. Those everyday activities would include interaction with other souls created in the image of God, and the behavior that must be demonstrated toward them was behavior that was rooted in every family's regard for mothers and fathers. In short, there was no good way to circumvent what this fifth commandment required. One other thought, the first commandment with promise in the context of Ephesians 6 that we noted in our last broadcast would more than likely have been the first practical principle that parents taught to their children. Hence, the first commandment with promise. You would think then that the responsibility to honor one's parents would be unmistakably understood, and then lovingly and voluntarily followed. Yes, you would think that. Why? Because that's what God intended. But Jesus knew better. The scribes and the Pharisees developed a way to circumvent their parental responsibility. They did so in such a way that they fulfilled the intent of that commandment without actually doing what it commanded. At least, that's what they thought. Here's what Jesus said about the matter. But you say, whoever says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is a gift to God, then he need not honor his father or mother. Thus, you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition. Matthew 15, verses 5 and 6. Jesus started with the words, but you say, words that tell us that in spite of what the scribes and the Pharisees should have unmistakably understood and then lovingly and voluntarily followed, there was something that they believed and that they did that ran counter to, that went against God's fifth commandment. Rather than giving something to their parents, the scribes and the Pharisees claimed to have given that to God. The meaning, we have given that to God instead of giving that to you. Mark explains it this way, but you say, if a man says to his father or mother, whatever profit you might have received from me is korban, that is, a gift to God. That particular form of the term only appears in Mark, but a related form, translated treasury, appears in Matthew 27, verse 6. This unique gift, korban, referred to something consecrated as a gift for God and closed to ordinary human use. Lewin Knighton note that the term, a borrowing from Hebrew, meant that which has been set aside as a gift to be given later to God, but which is still at the disposal of the owner. In some languages, they note, it is important to translate korban as what I have promised to later give to God. End of citation. There were at least three possibilities how this could have been done. They could have already given money prior to parental need. They could have already pledged the money prior to parental need. And they could have already designated the money to avoid parental need. It also appears possible, if not likely, that the financial support that could have been, should have been, given to honor and respect parents in their hour of need was still available to the person making the pledge. The unmistakable conclusion? This tradition explicitly violated God's commandments, making them of no effect or worthless. In Matthew 15, verses 3 through 9, Jesus' initial broad denunciation of the beliefs of the scribes and the Pharisees, followed by a specific example, and then ending with a restatement of their errors, was not the end of his criticism. Jesus called the scribes and the Pharisees hypocrites, and then he cited a prophecy from Isaiah to support his assessment of their claims and of their behavior. That prophecy spoke about those who would say, who would claim things, evidently, apparently, to honor and glorify God, but whose heart never synced with their claims. But there was more. Their actions never synced with their claims either. Consequently, Jesus stated that they worshiped God in vain, following their own commandments more so than the commandments of God. Jesus has, so far, made the same basic claim three times in this passage. In Matthew 15:3, Jesus asked, "Why do you also transgress the commandment of God because of your tradition?" The scribes and the Pharisees transgressed God's commandment by virtue of their traditions. In 15:6, Jesus said, "Thus you have made the commandment of God of no effect by your tradition." The scribes and the Pharisees made God's commandment worthless by keeping their traditions. And then, in this immediate context, Matthew 15:9, the Christ stated, "And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines the commandments of men." The scribes and the Pharisees' worship of God was vain because of their traditions. Those three terms, transgressed, no effect or worthless, and vain, summarize their traditions. Some form of the word translated as hypocrite appears 24 times in the New Testament. It appears once as a verb, 6 times as hypocrisy, and 17 times as the word hypocrite. It appears 14 of those 24 times in Matthew's Gospel. A quick side note, this does not include instances where the root term appears as part of a compound word, usually one preceded by a prefix meaning with, one time, or a prefix negating hypocrisy, thus meaning sincere, 6 times. Matthew used the word 4 times in the Sermon on the Mount, where it appears in Matthew 6, verse 2, 5, 16, and then in chapter 7, verse 5. It appears for the 5th time here in Matthew 15:7. After this, it will appear once in Matthew 22:18, 7 times in Matthew 23, and then a final time in Matthew 24, verse 51. In Matthew 23, easily the highest concentration of its appearances in Matthew, it always referred to the scribes and the Pharisees. 6 of the 7 forms in that chapter explicitly use the phrase scribes and Pharisees, comma, hypocrites. The 7th instance, in Matthew 23, verse 28, referred back to that phrase. In that passage, Jesus said, "Even so, you also outwardly appear righteous to men, but inside you are full of hypocrisy and lawlessness." Thus, most of the instances where the term hypocrite or hypocrisy was employed in Matthew referred directly to either the scribes and the Pharisees together or to the Pharisees alone, Matthew 22, verse 18, though neither group are specifically identified in the other 5 references in Matthew. The behavior depicted in those passages was certainly consistent with the behavior portrayed in the other 9. An interesting note, the term hypocrite or hypocrisy was used exclusively by Jesus in Matthew's Gospel. What can we take away from this study? Hypocrites generally were play actors, and God does not want play acting. God wants sincerity of heart and sincerity of practice. That's why the six terms that we referenced before, the ones negating hypocrisy, thus emphasizing sincerity and genuineness, were emphasized throughout the rest of the New Testament. We are to let our love be without hypocrisy, Romans 12:9 and 2 Corinthians chapter 6, verse 6. The purpose of God's commandment, summarizing the entirety of God's will, has always been love from a pure heart, from a good conscience, and from sincere faith, 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. Sincere in this text means without hypocrisy. It appears as genuine in the phrase genuine faith in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. The wisdom that we demonstrate must be gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy, James chapter 3, verse 7. And then, in the last mention of that term in the New Testament, Peter informs us that, since you have purified your souls in obeying the truth through the Spirit in sincere love of the brethren, love one another fervently with a pure heart. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 22. Our sincere love of the brethren must be non-hypocritical. It must be real. It must be genuine. Were the scribes and the Pharisees wrong about everything? No, not at all. Consider these thoughts. The Lord chastised them not because of their serious and pious attitude toward the law as such. Rather, it was their understanding of righteousness and their ways of evading its demands that he condemned. And many Pharisees and scribes were the prime examples of unbelief, being unable to see beyond their own traditionalism and to interpret the signs of the time because of their reliance on their own piety. Their characteristic feature was a self-deluding blindness. Outwardly, they appeared to be men of God, but in reality, they were sinners who were guilty in God's sight because they sought to repel the salvation that comes in Jesus. That is why Jesus characterized them as hypocrites in the series of woes he pronounced on them. See Matthew chapter 23. In our next broadcast, we will take up at this point and continue our study of Matthew 15. This reminder as we conclude, to use our free, self-paced online Bible study, go to igh.worldbibleschool.org. We hope that you can join us as we study God's Word together in our next broadcast.